ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. This morning's reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 7, text 7, text 8. 7th canto, sorry, beg your pardon. 7th canto, 8th chapter, verse number 8. ಸಾ ಈಶ್ವರ ಕಲಾ ಉರುಕ್ರಮ ಅಸು ಅಜೋ ಸಹ ಸತ್ವ ಬಲ ಇಂದ್ರಿಯ ಆತ್ಮ ಸಾ ಏವ ವಿಶ್ವಂ ಪರಮಾ ಸ್ವಶಕ್ತಿಭಿ ಸೃಜತಿ ಅವ್ಯವತಿ ಅತಿ ಗುಣತ್ರಯಶ ಸಾ ಈಶ್ವರ ಕಲಾ ಅನುಕ್ರಮ ಸ್ವ ಅಜ ಸಹ ಸತ್ವ ಬಲೇಂದ್ರಿಯಾತ್ಮ ಸೈವ ವಿಶ್ವಂ ಪರಮ ಸ್ವಶಕ್ತಿಭಿ ಸೃಜತಿ ಅವ್ಯತಿ ಅತಿ ಗುಣತ್ರಯಸ್ಯ ಸಾ ಈಶ್ವರ ಕಲಾ ಅನುಕ್ರಮ ಸ್ವ ಅಜೋ ಸಹ ಸತ್ವ ಬಲೇಂದ್ರಿಯಾತ್ಮ ಸೈವ ವಿಶ್ವಂ ಪರಮ ಸ್ವಶಕ್ತಿಭಿ ಸೃಜತಿ ಅವ್ಯತಿ ಅತಿ ಗುಣತ್ರಯಸ್ಯ ಸಹ ಹಿ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಈಶ್ವರ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲರ್ ಕಲಹ ದ ಟೈಮ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟರ್ ಉರುಕ್ರಮ The Lord whose every action is uncommon. Asu, that one. Aja, the strength of the senses. Saha, the strength of the mind. Sattva, steadiness. Bala, bodily strength. Indriya, and of the senses themselves. Atma, the very self. Saha, he. Eva, indeed. Vishwam, the whole universe. Paramaha, the supreme. Swasaktibhi, by his multifarious transcendental potencies. Sijati, creates. Avyati, maintains. Ati winds up. Guna Trayasa Isha, the master of the material modes. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme controller and time factor, He is the power of the senses, the power of the mind, the power of the body, and the vital forces of the senses. His influence is unlimited. He is the best of all living entities, the controller of the three modes of material nature. By His own power, He creates this cosmic manifestation, maintains it, and annihilates it also. Purport. Since the material world is being moved by the three modes of material, by three material modes, and since the Lord is their master, the Lord can create, maintain, and destroy this material world. I'll go on to the next verse because the purport is very short, so very difficult to speak on a short purpose. Since we can understand that Srila Prabhupada didn't have much to say, then who am I to say anything on this? So the next translation to verse 9 is, Prahlad Maharaj continued, My dear father, please give up your demoniac mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equipoised towards everyone. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no enemy within this world. When one sees everyone on the platform of equality, one then comes to the position of worshipping the Supreme Lord perfectly. Purport. Unless one is able to fix the mind at the lotus feet of the Lord, the mind is impossible to control, as Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita 6:34. Chanchalam hi manasa Krishna parmati balavaya dridham tasyaham nigraham anyet vayor eva sudaskaram. For the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong, O Krishna, and to subdue it, it seems to me, it is more difficult than controlling the wind. The bona fide process of controlling the mind is to fix the mind by service of the Lord. We create enemies and friends according to the dictation of the mind, but actually there are no enemies and friends. Pandita sama darshina sama sarvesu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. To understand this is the preliminary condition for entering into the kingdom of devotional service. Om Ajnana Trimanandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshusunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this chapter is entitled Lord Slays the King of the Demons. Of course, when we read this pastime of Lord Narsingadev and Prahlad Maharaj, it is an interesting fact that how the Supreme Lord manifests Himself specifically to protect His devotee. We all know from even Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sadhuna Vinashaya Chaduskritam, that the Lord comes to protect His devotees and annihilates the miscreant. So, in relation to this verse, we can understand that there are the Hiranyakashipu of this day and age is not a person or a personality. Although sometimes we see some demonic persons in this material world who are dictators and they show their strength and control everyone as little Ishwaras. But the real fact here is mentioned is the mind. Mind is that Hiranyakashipu. And as mentioned by Prabhupada in the purport, that this obstinate mind, the uncontrolled mind, is your worst enemy. That Hiranyakashipu of the mind can be destroyed simply if we take to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in terms of devotional service. Of course, we hear many times from different speakers and also from the scriptures that we have to surrender to the Supreme Lord. So we are sometimes perplexed. How can I surrender to the Supreme Lord? Because many times this question is asked during class, someone has, towards the end of the class, has any questions, says, how do I surrender? Because who do we surrender? We know, the Supreme Lord Himself. But how? Of course, it is very simple. By Prahlad Maharaj Himself is teaching us how to surrender to the Supreme Lord. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Savaranam Pada Sevanam Arsanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. the nine processes of bhakti, devotional service. And we are very fortunate that that very secret of devotional service and how to engage in this principle of devotion is taught to us by none other than the Supreme Lord Himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when He started His Sankirtan movement, when He adventured in Sridhar Mayapur. And after that, many wonderful stalwart Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, who are also empowered by the Lord or sent by the Supreme Lord Himself to continue in this mission. And for a while it was kind of lost, until Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was praying to the Supreme Lord that kindly send me an assistant who can take up this mission boldly and re-establish the principles of Gaudiya Bhakti, Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So of course the Lord heard his prayers and blessed him with a transcendental son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. And by the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took this mission very boldly and he preached. And sometimes he said that he's the most radical, saintly person we can find, who went beyond the norms of normal activities of a saintly person to establish the principles of bhakti, to attract people to the lotus feet of the Lord. One example comes to the mind of this radicalness is that, just imagine, way back into the past, during the British Raj, is in full control of our country, which we call today India, and the British had full control. And during that time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada had invited some governor from Calcutta. At that time, Calcutta was the seat of the British control. And he had invited him to Sridhar Mayapur along with his entourage. Now just imagine for 1 minute, when we make our pilgrimage to Sridhar Mayapur from Calcutta, either by train, which is a hellish journey, or you go by car, it's only 120 kilometers or maybe 140 at the most. In the West, they would cover that distance within 1 hour, 1 hour 10 minutes. From Calcutta to Sridhar Mayapur takes more than 4 hours. And not only 4 hours, but it is a hazardous journey with all kinds of obstacles on the way, which will threaten your life. So during the time of British Raj, I'm sure they did not have a nice tarmac road leading towards Sridhar Mayapur from Calcutta. It was probably a dirt road, and they probably had those ancient vehicles which are not what we call today, you know, the SUVs, four-wheelers, you can go on all terrain. But still somehow, on the request and invite of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, the governor and his entourage came to Sridhar Mayapur in Chaitanya Mat. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada told one of his sannyasis, prepare meat for these people, because they have made such a endeavor to come to Sridhar Mayapur, and their diet is not vegetarian. You know, I'm sure if they would be given khichdi or dal and sabji and rice and chapatis, they would have been very, very appreciative after the hazardous journey to Sridhar Mayapur. So in order to take care of them, he told very boldly, yes, cook meat. Now of course, cooking meat is not an ordinary activity for a Vaishnava, because that is the most sinful thing one can do. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is such a transcendental personality that he sees beyond material concept how to attract the fallen living entities to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And once you are attracted to the lotus feet of the Lord, then all your bad habits will go immediately. Just like Prabhupada, when he went to the West, he simply gave prasadam and chanting, and attracted all the young boys and girls from America to take to the principle of devotional service, and they all surrendered. And in the short period of 10 years of Srila Prabhupada's Antilila, he established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and handed it over to the young boys and girls from America. He said, now you take forth this mission and expand. And today, 50 years later, we can see Krishna consciousness is flourishing because of that radical moves made by the previous acharyas. So, of course, Srila Prabhupada, he opened up the transcendental doors to devotional service for us and engaged us in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, through which we can develop attraction and attachment to the lotus feet of the Lord. And finally, we will come to a point where we see that there is nothing else left in this material world for us except to fully dedicate ourselves to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And that is called full surrender. Of course, there is other kind of full surrender, is like Bali Maharaj, who was tricked by the Lord in his dwarf incarnation as Vamandev. Jai Sri Krishna Balaram ki jai. So, Bali Maharaj, he gave up everything. Finally, he had nothing to give. So he gave his head and bowed down, that this is only thing I have. So I surrender my head to you. Means my mind, body and soul, I'm surrendering to you. And of course, Vamandev very gracefully accepted his surrender and accepted him under his lotus feet. So, when Bali Maharaj surrendered, Sukracharya, his guru, was saying, "You're such a foolish person. You had everything. You're the king and master of the three worlds. Now you have given everything. You have nothing. You are useless." Now we have experienced this in this world, that if we have some wealth, some position, we have respect. We are somebody. If you have nothing in this world, no wealth, no position, simply a non-entity, what is your position? You are useless. Nobody will even give you a second of your time. So just imagine Bali Maharaj, king and master of the three universes, and all of a sudden he has nothing now. So Sukracharya is saying, "You are useless now." But of course, from Sukracharya's point of view was that he gave up everything. Therefore, he has nothing now. It is material concept. But when you surrender to Krishna, Srila Prabhupada says, when you surrender fully to Krishna, then what is your position? You may not be the master of material possession, material wealth, but Krishna gives himself to you. Now if Krishna gives himself to you, then what does that mean? The everything that Krishna owns is yours, because Krishna has become yours. So we have nothing to fear, nothing to lose. But still, even after understanding from the scriptures, from the Vaishnava speakers encouraging, please give up everything for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord and surrender, you see, that is a good idea. But in practice, I come and bow down, but that's as far as I go. I don't give up. We have fear. If we give up everything, what is there for us? Nothing. But we understand from the pastimes given in the Srimad Bhagavatam that if you give up everything for the pleasure of Krishna, then Krishna is yours. And if Krishna is yours, what more you want? You are completely free, as is mentioned in this purport and verse, that this material world is revolving on the basis of three modes of material nature: mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness. As long as we are caught up in these modes, we will suffer the pains of material existence. As is mentioned, that as long as we have this material body, the three kinds of suffering will be there: adi bhautik, adi atmik, adi devik. We cannot be exempted from this. We may think that, you know, I am miles away. For example, right now, adi devik is taking its toll in America. All these tornadoes coming and wiping out billions and billions of dollars of property and lives. In Mexico, a huge earthquake. We are okay, we are in Vrindavan. There's no earthquake. But it can happen here also. Because Bhumi Devi is not going to spare anyone who messes around with Bhumi's equilibrium. You know, by nature's arrangement, the earth is so peaceful planet. But due to us, the human beings, we disturb. And Bhumi Devi is an embodiment of tolerance. She will tolerate all kinds of nonsense to a point. And after that, she will start moving around. And when she starts moving around, then you see what happens. Volcanoes, eruptions, earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes, and all the technology of the world cannot save you. America is this the considered the embodiment of topmost technology in this material world. But when the hurricane came in Florida, wiped out, their technology was useless. President Trump sitting up in Washington, saying, "I am the most powerful man." But he became useless in front of the hurricane. What can he do? Nothing. So we should take it from these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, teaching us on every point how we must surrender to the Supreme Lord. And the principle is very simple, as mentioned in this verse, that we enter the spirit of devotion. As Prabhupada has mentioned the purpose, that he is the doors of devotion are open to us. As soon as we come to Krishna consciousness, means that we have now got one foot inside the door of devotion. But that is not sufficient. What about the rest of the body? You got to bring the rest of the body in. Then you'll be in full spirit of devotion. And we have to be like the camel. There's one story. In the desert, the camel and his master were walking. You know, they are nomads, so they carry all the provision with them, and they set up camp wherever they like. So when in the desert storm comes, they set up a small tent and they sit inside the tent and weather the storm away. Because you know, if you caught up in a sandstorm, it is not a very pretty place, because all the sand starts going into all your orifices, in your mouth, in your nose, in your ears, in your eyes. And it is not a very comfortable condition. So you make a nice shelter. So he made this nice shelter and was inside sitting there and thinking, okay, I'll weather this storm, because he's done it in the past, so it's not a new thing to him. But in his heart, he was feeling compassion for his camel. So he thought, then at least I'll pull the camel's head inside the tent, so his eyes and ears and mouth and nose will be saved from the dust of the sand. So then he pulled the rope on his neck of the camel and brought it inside. And the camel is thinking, that's nice. And the camel is thinking, this is not sufficient. I need to move one more foot in. So he moves one foot in, another foot, and before you know it, he moves inside the tent and kicks the master out of the tent. So we are like that. That somehow by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, he has pulled us into the shelter of devotion. He has let us inside. But we are not as clever as the camel. We're thinking that it is nice here, but it is nice there also. So we are trying to enjoy both the worlds. Now you see, you cannot enjoy spiritual existence along with material existence. Either one or the other. It's like, you know, someone brings you a nice big cup full of rubbery. And then he says, before you partake your rubbery, he puts like 10 spoons of salt in it. And makes sense. Says, now enjoy. Can you enjoy? Rubbery by itself is wonderful. But with salt in it, it is not really palatable. So we are like that. We are trying to mix sugar and salt together and try to enjoy. But you cannot. Sugar is his flavor, salt is his flavor. The spiritual world is sweet like sugar. Material world is like salt. Little salt is nice. It gives flavor to your food preparation. But if you put too much salt, what happens? It is impalatable. You cannot eat. So in the material world, it's like that. We are overdosing ourselves with salt. And Maya is covering us with the three modes. Say, don't worry. Add something else inside. You know, I was reading just now, recently, one recipe. And the special chef who does all these recipes said that in case if you have cooked something and by accidentally you put extra salt in it, all you do is put two or three potatoes inside the preparation, and the potatoes will suck out all the salt, and the preparation will become palatable. So Maya is like that. She said, don't worry. Come. I will help you out here. Give you some potatoes. Take the salt out. And then we say, hey, it's not so bad. And we get kicked day after day after day. And we don't want to surrender. But Srila Prabhupada explains the sweetness of devotional service. Once you get the taste, then the Maya salt is not attractive. But we don't want to give up, because we want to put one foot in the spiritual world and one in the material world. And therefore, we are always struggling. So here is a simple message given to us. And Prahlad Maharaj is in the ninth verse we read. He said, my dear father, give up this. Who is your enemy? Nobody is your enemy. It is just your mind telling you that the Supreme Lord is your enemy. And why he's thinking like that? Because prior to Hiranyakashipu becoming so much against the Supreme Lord, he was kind of okay. But his brother Hiranyaksha was killed by Lord Varaha. And that time his mind became completely disturbed. And saying, who is this Lord? I am going to destroy him. But still, he cannot destroy the Lord by his own powers. So who is he going to ask the special boon of immortality? To Lord Brahma. So at least Hiranyakashipu is acknowledging that Brahma is the supreme master. Otherwise, why he would go to him? If he himself thinks I am most powerful, then why he would go to Lord Brahma? Just like in this material world also, if you have some powerful position, would you go to someone else? Unless someone else is acknowledged that he is more powerful than you. Yeah. For example, you know, in this country you have a chief minister of a state, and then you have the prime minister of the country. So you know, you may be thinking, I am quite okay in my state, I am the master of my state. But when some difficulties arises, what do? You go running to knocking on the door in Delhi, in the Prime Minister's offices. Help! So similarly, Hiranyakashipu was thinking, Brahma is the creator of this material world. Let me go to him. So he's doing severe austerities. And then, when he's asking the boon from Lord Brahma, he says, give me immortality. And Lord Brahma says, you are asking a little bit too much from me here. Because ask something that I can give you. I can only give you that which I have. I cannot give you something I don't have. Even myself, Lord Brahma says, that at the end of 100 years, 100 years of Brahma, not yours and mine. So Brahma's 100 years, he says, when that is over and finished, I am also gone. I have to give up my body. So if I have to give up my body, how can I make you immortal? So Hiranyakashipu is thinking, not a problem. I am a very intelligent person, very learned person. I'll make all kinds of conditions where nothing can kill me. And I'll become immortal. So he's asking for all these different boons, as you have read from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he's saying, now I'm fully protected. But still he's fearful. Fearful of who? Because if you have immortality, who would you fear? Would you fear death? But he's fearing death. And that is why he's forcing his son Prahlad, young 5-year-old boy, stop chanting these holy names. This Ishwara, this Krishna, who is he? I am the powerful person. And Prahlad very humbly says, no, my dear father, you are not the most powerful. Krishna is the most powerful. And of course he tries to kill Prahlad in so many ways. But Prahlad still doesn't hold any grudge against his father. Just see. Because Prahlad is preaching from his own self-realization. If I come and tell anyone, I humbly request to you all, please surrender completely. And I am not surrendered myself. What is the value of my asking you to surrender? But if I am fully surrendered, then I can ask you to surrender. So Prahlad has no enemies. Even his father, who is performing all kinds of atrocities to him, he still says, my dear father, give up your mind's enemy. Give all these things. Surrender to the Supreme Lord.
You'll be a happy man.
Of course, Hiranyakasipu is saying, I have none of that. But still, Prahlad is holding his position and convincing, trying to convince his father that there's no enemy in this world. In fact, there's no such thing as enemy at all. It is our own creation. And what is that our own creation that, that which makes us feel that he is my enemy? It's because we fear that person. And what is there to fear from someone? Nothing to fear. But we have fear. And we have envy. And all these conditions of envy, anger, fear are fueled by the three modes of material nature. So as long as we are taking shelter of the material modes, then this anger, envy, animosity, everything will be fueled. And more it is fueled, the more and more it becomes powerful. And more you see people as your enemies. Otherwise, there is an old saying in English, live and let live. What is the problem? You know, but we don't want to live and let live. We want to have everything. Now, even if we have everything, it will still not make us happy. As we can see from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, all these different great personalities who conquered the three worlds, they had everything. But were they happy? Were they satisfied? Because now I am the master of three worlds. I can sit back and relax and say, hey, I'm the controller now. I don't need anything. I need more. I need more. And not only I need more, but at the back of the mind, there is always that fear, I will lose it. I will lose it. So for us, if we give up all our material desires, then what is there to lose? More material desires. And if you lose material desires, no big deal. It's a happy situation. Lose it all. In fact, we should be very happy to lose it. There should be no fear. But we have fear. Because we're thinking, if we lose everything, then who will take care of me? Who will protect me? How will I get my sustenance? Our Srila Prabhupada explains this also, that from the highest being to the lowest being, you know, from the big elephant to the smallest ant, everybody's taken care of. So why won't Krishna take care of us? But we have greed. We have want. We want more than what we require. Just like I was one time watching one National Geographic documentary on the animals of African plains. And the example was very nicely given, which is befitting, that a lion and his pride, they will go and hunt either a deer or a buffalo. And once the kill is there, they will eat. And once their belly is full, they'll go away. They will not say, well, there's half a buffalo left. Let me put it in the freezer for tomorrow. No, they will just leave. And they will go away. And what happens? The hyenas come. And they take their little bit. And then hyenas go away. Then the vultures come and they take the scrap. And when vultures are gone, little ants come and take their little piece. Originally, the kill was made by the lions. But all down the chain, everybody got their bait and they're all satisfied. And in the wild plains of Africa, once the lion has made a kill and has his belly full, he will just sit there and observe everything passing by. And all around him, there's deers and buffaloes grazing. And he just looks at them and says, and yawns, and then goes to sleep. Because once he's eaten, for 3 days, he doesn't need to eat. He's happy for 3 days. But after 3 days, the pangs of hunger again are there and goes and kill again. But the point is that he doesn't go and kill and save it. What do we do? We have a larder full of stuff. And you have everything, provisions for like say 6 months. And you're all fully stocked up and think, if anything happens, I'll be well looked after for the next 6 months. And then at night falls, and say your body is tired, and you go to sleep. And you go to sleep, and slowly the sleep goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and boom, you're dead. What happens? You don't wake up next morning. And all that hard work, of stocking for 6 months provision is going to waste. That is what we are doing. From the day we are born till the day we die. Want, gather. And then when you die, then what happens? Someone else takes. You don't get anything. You don't take anything with you. So here, Prahlad Maharaj is telling his father, give up this enemy of yours. There is no enemy. Everyone is your friend. Because ultimately everyone is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. They are all living entities who are very dear to Krishna. And if we are all very dear to Krishna, then where is the question of animosity amongst us? But we even find in our devotional practice that we have likes and dislikes amongst devotees. That is a very dangerous mentality to cultivate. Why you should have like and dislike amongst devotees? You want to love Krishna. He wants to love Krishna. He wants to love Krishna. Everyone wants to love Krishna. So we have a common love. It's Krishna. And if we can help each other increase in our love for Krishna, what is the problem? Oh, I don't like that Prabhu. Why? Because he stepped on your toe and offended your ego. And because your ego is hurt, you think, I don't like that Prabhuji. You know, he's not a very good person. But you should be very thankful to that Prabhuji who stepped on your ego. He's reminding you, give up your ego. Because in order to move in fully, when the door of devotion is open, even if you have a little tinge of ego, your body cannot move in fully. And Krishna will not embrace you. So therefore, we should be very thankful. If anybody comes and destroys your false ego, you should be very happy that he is actually your best well-wisher. He wants to help you in your devotional progress, in your devotional journey. But what happens to us? We don't like that person. He has hurt my ego. I will be an enemy for life. And then rest of the time, you're a very nice person. You chant your rounds and you do service and you are very nice to all the other Vaishnavas. But that one or two persons who have stepped on your ego, you don't like them. Then what happens? Finally, you're lying on your deathbed. Final breath is going to be last breath. And Krishna is saying, you're almost there. But you have one or two enemies in the world. You have hatred for one or two persons. You cannot come. Go back. So rebirth. And when you take rebirth, what happens? It's not only for that short little discrepancy. Because when we take rebirth, we create more discrepancy. You know, instead of resolving little discrepancy, we create more discrepancy. So instead of actually making our way back to the Supreme Lord, we go further away. Don't take a chance. Because rebirth, although we understand, many times devotees say, Prabhu, don't worry. You have taken Mahaprasadam, you have chanted Hare Krishna, you have taken the darshan of the Supreme Lord. You will get a human birth next time. But that human birth is not a guarantee that you will fully surrender. Mayadev is waiting all the time. Little salt in your prasadam and you are a happy man. And you know, you are content. So, we should be very, very careful that we don't create animosity against anybody. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us what? Trinad pisunichna, tororopisunichna, amanina, mani dena, kirtanya sadahari. Not just become humble, tolerant, free of false ego, but amanina, mani dena. One must be ready to offer all respect unto others. And when you will come to that position to offer respect unto others, is when you see everyone else as greater than you. And if you see everyone as greater than you, then there is no question of animosity. Because you see them all as wonderful, great persons. So amanina, mani dena. Then kirtanya sadahari can take place. But if there is no amanina, mani dena, then of course kirtanya sadahari doesn't take place. Although we are struggling every day. Some of us now are chanting for so many years. Myself personally, I've been chanting for 40 years now. You know, every day, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 40 years I'm chanting. But if you ask me a question, Maharaj, have you developed taste for Nama Amrita? I say, I'm trying. Every day is struggle. Why? I'll be honest. is because there is still that ego is holding on. But I'm praying to Vaishnavas, please come, destroy my ego. Help me out here so that I can actually develop taste for the holy name. And we have to be honest. We cannot go in a false facade and saying, everybody is bowing down, showing you respect and honor as a sannyasi and saying, well, I'm okay, you know, everybody is giving me respect, so I'm doing pretty good. Actually, I'm not doing pretty good. The day someone comes and says, Maharaj, you have false ego, I think I'm doing pretty good. If someone comes, oh, Haribol Maharaj, I say, oh, well, I'm not doing very good here. Because they're fueling my ego. We have to become humble. So, the simple message given in this verse today by Prahlad Maharaj to his father is saying, give up all this animosity. Don't hold any animosity against anyone, especially our fellow devotees who are our associates in the journey of devotional service. And if we develop love for everyone and respect for everyone and appreciate everyone, then Krishna is sitting there and saying, yes, I like that person. He's respecting everyone. So then what happens? Krishna respects you. Say, okay, come on in. Because in order to go into the inner fold of Krishna, you have to be free from everything and ready to offer all respect unto others. This is not I am saying, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Amani na mani dena kirtani sadahari. Must be ready to offer all respect unto others. Now, the underlining point here is not saying that advanced devotees or selective devotees, is saying, Amani na mani dena unto all others. Others means everyone. There is no categories. Oh, he's a karmi, he's a half devotee, he's a full devotee, he's an advanced devotee, he's a neophyte devotee, he's uttama adhikari, he's a madhyama adhikari, he's a kanishta adhikari. As soon as you get into that classification, you are in big trouble. Therefore, we have to develop a simple message. Everybody I see is uttama adhikari. They may not act as uttama adhikari because they are also under the influence of Maya Devi's three modes of material nature. But deep down, the soul is pure. Soul is not contaminated. It's just a covering. But we are not in a position to judge who is covered by what. That is not our position. Our position is to see everyone as great personalities and respect and honor. Just like Yudhishthir Maharaj and Duryodhan, they were both asked a simple question by Krishna. Of course, there are two different questions. And Duryodhan was told, Duryodhan, you go and find out who is the most exalted personality in the three worlds. And Duryodhan is thinking, why ask question like that? Moi is here in present in front of you. There is none greater than me. Of course, Duryodhan is full of false ego. So Krishna says, okay, that's very nice. Didn't take too long for you to find out who's the exalted personality in the world. And then Yudhishthir Maharaj was asked, my dear Yudhishthir Maharaj, you go in the three worlds and find out who is the most lowest of lowest and fallen person. And Yudhishthir Maharaj, immediately with humility, with folded hands, falls at the feet of the Lord, says, dear Lord, you no need to go anywhere. I am that lowest of the lowest, most fallen soul. That is our position. Because even though you may be very exalted by your own devotional activities and by Krishna's favor upon you, still one must consider oneself very fallen. So just like concluding that even our acharyas, great acharyas like Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when they're writing their bhajans, they're not just bhajans for singing. These are their realizations. They're putting it down, what they feel in their heart. And they're saying, I am like a worm in the stool. Now, you know, Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how you can think that these personalities are lower than the worm in the stool? That they're exalted personalities. But they are sincerely telling them, for us, that we should be thinking like that. That we are actually of no worth. We are useless. We have no value. My only value is that somehow By the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I have been allowed to enter into this society of Krishna consciousness, where I am now given opportunity to engage in the devotional principle of Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. So before I end my class, I would like to invite all the Vaishnavas here today present that today at around 11 o'clock in Balaram Hall, we'll be observing the Pre-Tirubhav festival of Vrindavan Vaishnav Seva in honor of Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, 11th Tirubhav celebration. So I humbly request all of you, please kindly come there and grace us with your presence. And please honor the feast, which is I think around 2 o'clock in the Krishna Hall. 2:30? Okay, 2:30. But you can all start coming there by 2. Because once we gather you in and prasadam is ready, hopefully everything is will run smoothly by the grace of Guru and Gauranga. And tomorrow at Radhakon, we are also observing the Tirubhav festival in Gopalji Mandir on the banks of Radhakund. You are also all welcome and invited. Unfortunately, I don't have the wealth to arrange vehicles for all of you to take you there. But I will take you in the vehicle of my heart to Radhakund. Although I have no qualification to take you to Radhakund, but at least the spirit of invitation is there. Please come and grace the occasion of Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj Tirubhav ceremony there. So I will stop here. I'll thank you all very much for your kind attention and giving me this opportunity to speak some of my realizations. If anybody has any comments, questions, maybe we can take one or two.
Hare Krishna. As we are now in our management, so sometimes we chastise the whole because of service. Because sometimes nobody don't want service and don't want to follow the rule and regulations. So we chastise them. So this is also a kind of devotees because we are now ashram devotees. So, our ashrams are Samar devotees, not more devotees. A few devotees are like that. So they don't want to, morning program and don't like any other services. So we chastise heavily. We said that if you don't do service, you can go outside of temple and you.
You see, when you are put in a position of authority, then unfortunately your position is very, very precarious, where you may have to chastise someone. It's like Yamaraj. Yamaraj is a pure devotee of the Lord, but still he has been given the duty to take all the sinful people and make them punishable for their sinful activities. But on the other hand, we should not be very harsh to anybody. Because whoever has come to Krishna, they didn't come just by their willy-nilly free will. Krishna arranged for them to come. So we should not act in any way that they will feel offended and they will leave Krishna consciousness. In fact, we should not even tell them, oh, if you don't do this, then get out. I take from one example of Srila Prabhupada. In Los Angeles temple, there was one devotee. He was a very nice devotee, sincerely coming to whole morning program. And then during the day, he would just laze around and chant his rounds or read Bhagavatam. The temple president went to complain to Srila Prabhupada. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, this particular person, he's not doing any service. So Prabhupada first asked, okay, is he coming for morning program? He's very enthusiastic for morning program. And he's chanting his rounds. Yes, he's chanting every day's rounds. So Prabhupada, don't disturb him. Because see, by simply attending the morning program and chanting, slowly your heart will develop that you'll get attraction for service. And as I said, amanina, amanidena will come by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we should not act harshly to kick anyone out. Who are we to kick anyone out? If anything, Krishna will kick you out. Because if you commit offense after offense after offense, then Krishna is in that person's heart. Krishna will automatically tell him in his heart, time for you to leave. And he will just leave on his own accord. Not by your say or my say or any other authority. Let Krishna decide who he keeps and who he discards. But for our business is to try and make situation so nice that we attract people to come and do service. And make it sweet. Okay.
Srila Prabhupada quotes one place, in our ISKCON lazy activism is not allowed. So, yesterday class, Sundar Sam gave one class. So, if anyone spoils, property of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada was the happiest ashtag one devotee also in Lalaraspur temple. And Srila Prabhupada did not give you for that name there because you spoiled the property of ISKCON. And this property belongs to Krishna, not for your sense.
Yeah, you see, we have to be intelligent enough here to use our discretion and also our discrimination powers to see that if someone is lazy and crazy and he is disturbing the peacefulness of Vaishnavas who are serious in their devotional practice, then we have to take some action to try to protect. You see, it is not that for the sake of one person we destroy the many. So, but we have to do it in nice way, that we don't create animosity in your mind or in the mind of the person, and he doesn't feel, in a way that give up at least Krishna consciousness. We should not be an instrument to someone giving up Krishna consciousness. That's why Prabhupada said, if you can not expand, at least maintain. So we have to use that mode. And see, there is always a nice way of telling people to engage in devotional service and explain. Just like a small child, don't do this! And the child said, and then he does it anywhere. I said, my dear son, come here. See, this is very bad you are doing. You are harming yourself. Better not to do this. Ah, yes, I understand. Then he will not do it. But if you forceful him, then there is the natural, from very beginning, the soul is very rebellious. That is why we are in the material world. So as soon as some authority comes to control you, you will become rebellious. So better to tell him nicely and sweetly. Then I think Krishna in the heart will tell him that, listen to this. It is for your own good. Okay? Alright, I think we have gone over time. So I thank you all very much. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantra Srimad Bhagavad Mahapurana ki jai. Srimad Prahlad Maharaj Katha Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.